For the next hour, we'll be doing geek news and answering your questions and comments. So the entire hour is devoted to your problems.
Geek Speaks podcast and website are brought to you by GNI, a full-featured web hosting facility that provides co-location services and high-bandwidth connectivity. More information about GNI is available at www.gnihosting.com.
It's Friday, November 4th, 2005, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California, and it's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. My name's Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during our program are not necessarily those of KUSP. Today on Geek Speak, after a spot of geek news, we're taking your calls of questions and comments about technology. Anything you may like to ask us, we're here to listen and hopefully answer them, maybe even correctly. The numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877, or you can go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. I'll give out that contact information again when I invite your participation in about 15 minutes. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air room with me are geeks Miles Elam, technical trainer at Surf Control, and Sean Cleveland, senior PR marketing manager for NetCell. Geeks, welcome to Geek Speak.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lyle. What do you do again?
What do I do? Oh, yeah, you ask me every once in a while, don't you?
Every once in a while, yeah.
All right, no one cares, dude.
Yeah, okay, thanks. So let's, before we're going to get into
terrible.
We're going to get into technical people's calls. It's so true, though.
There are thousands of students.
You need to do something besides Geek Speak?
Yeah, whatever.
I work for an MFA program up at UCSC called Digital Arts and New Media. It's a pretty cool program in the arts division.
And your job is to buy really cool hardware no one else ever gets to play with.
To some degree, we do buy some stuff that is unique to the work that the students are doing and the faculty.
Unique being a euphemism for mind-bogglingly cool.
That's good. I like that. I buy mind-bogglingly cool
stuff. So tell us something cool that you've bought and played with recently.
No, but I will. But I will ask Miles what the news for the day so far is.
Well, this is a quick little story I thought was worth noting. According to The Telegraph, a UK newspaper, Sci-Fi UK, the Sci-Fi Channel in the United Kingdom, saw a 10% rise in the number of female viewers over the past 8 years, so that now women make up 51% of their audience.
Of the Sci-Fi Channel in the UK?
Yes. And which is a market change from the impression of just a bunch of sweaty guys sitting in the basement.
You know, a few minutes ago you mentioned, but before we got on, Miles, you mentioned to me that, hey, you know, sci-fi enthusiasts, women, there's more women than men sci-fi enthusiasts. And then you're like, in Europe. In Britain. And now you're saying in one channel in Britain. Thanks for that earth-shattering news.
But at the same
it's a trend story.
Yes, and they were citing it, saying that there was an increase in positive female role models, whereas, right. For example, in the original Star Trek, all the women were either in short skirts or were aliens.
Or were computers.
And their job was to talk into a microphone. Or just look pretty.
But now we have real role models on these shows.
Or at least you have some depth to it, some variation. You have, you know, for example, the ones that we're mentioning were Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Lara Croft in the video games, and then Trinity from The Matrix.
Right.
I've got a new character. People should. There's a book called The Air Affair by Jasper Ford. It's a character called Thursday Next. Highly recommend that book.
Jasper Ford, Air Affair. Thank you, Sean, for that recommendation. Miles, thanks for keeping us abreast of current trends in sci-fi. Sean.
Yes. Well, this is very important news.
Then get to it, Ben.
Nestec, part of the Nestle empire in Switzerland, has filed patents in every major market around the world on a fermented coffee beverage that pours and foams like beer, but smells of strong coffee and packs a concentrated caffeine kick.
Yeah. Coffee beer?
Yeah.
But is this an original idea? Because I could have sworn I remember Dennis Leary doing a stand-up joke about coffee-flavored beer. Yeah, just as...
The perfect solution.
So coffee beans are roasted normally, and the chemicals containing the aroma, They're collected in a cryogenic, something that condenses it.
Freezing it, okay.
And then it's converted into coffee oil.
Coffee what?
Coffee oil.
Okay.
Then the remains are roasted and ground into a powder, mixed with the yeast and sucrose, fermented for 4 hours, and voila, you've got coffee beer.
With no alcohol, if it's only fermented for 4 hours. I'd assume it is not.
And yet, Lyle, I see you gave me a hard time for Women in Sci-Fi because it was only in the UK. And yet, coffee-flavored beer, oh, wow, that's this really interesting. Oh, how do they make that? Oh.
This is mind-boggling stuff.
Hey, you know, what are geeks fueled by?
Yep.
Well, I don't drink coffee.
Well, I don't drink beer. We're set. Miles
together, we're a complete non-geek.
That's right.
So, wait a minute. So, Miles doesn't drink coffee, which is why he doesn't code anymore.
That's right. Hey, that's why you don't code anymore.
No, I'm actually getting close to drinking coffee. I never drank coffee when I was...
Woohoo! Geek Speak servers coming into overdrive. Time for new pages and new content. That's about the best news I've heard in a long time.
We're done. All right, Miles, your next news story.
Mozilla Firefox, the up-and-coming web browser, has apparently...
The one that we recommend every time we talk about web browsers.
Right. Has achieved 10% market share, which...
Globally? Or just in Britain?
Well, the thing is, if you're on the web, like, everything is global.
Okay.
If you open up a local store...
10%?
Yeah.
So IE is falling, and it's...
Yes. Whereas IE used to be... What, 95%?
99%,
something,
yeah.
Ridiculous like that. It's 10% there, and then there's the percentage of Safari.
And this do you know...
For Mac users.
Do you know how these calculations are working on the web? Are they just looking at log statistics?
This is from the web analytics firm OneStat.com.
It's interesting, because I'd love to look at that statistics and stuff, because, for example, Firefox has built-in support for... RSS feeds. And mm-hmm. RSS feeds, basically the browser goes and asks for new document lots of times. So if you've got 50 RSS feeds you're watching, you might be multiplying the amount of traffic or requests mm-hmm. by a large amount. So
One of the default ones
IE doesn't have that, therefore it's not going to be doing that.
One of the default ones, actually, when you download it, you have this little orange icon in the top left-hand corner, and it says today's headlines. You click on it, and it's this RSS feed from Google News, I think it is.
I believe. So that's interesting. The reason I ask is, are they taking those statistics in count or not? Because if they're just looking at the amount of traffic and it's increased that much, possibly it's not really the amount of people using the browser.
Except that an RSS feed would be counted separately.
Why?
I mean, those are specific URLs. I would think that you'd never get any hits from Internet Explorer off of those URLs.
So you and I basically are going to say that we assume that this statistic company is doing it correctly, because if we were to do it, we would do it.
This is in line with many of the other things I've heard, where people over the months have been talking about 7%, 8%.
That's great. Yeah, so. It's coming along. Firefox is a browser, an open source and free browser from Mozilla Foundation. You can get it by going to mozilla.org.
Oh, and release candidate 1 for Mozilla Firefox 1.5 was just released.
Right. And
1.5. Okay.
Yeah, Sean made a good point to send a link to me, and he's like, hey, check this out. This is cool. And yet, if you were running the earlier betas, it automatically told you, there's a new version. I'm downloading it now. Restart your browser. You'll have the new version.
Nice.
I didn't get that.
It's because you weren't using a beta. You were using
release beta
candidate.
Too.
You sure?
You were?
I was.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been talking about the first I heard of it was when my browser told me restart because you're updated.
All right. I feel chipped.
Sean, what's your news story, sir, before we start inviting people to call in?
Oh, okay.
We're going to keep on doing news as we wait for people to call in.
Oh, okay. So.
No pressure, man.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So Microsoft will be releasing a critical security update next Tuesday, which is what they're calling Patch Tuesday now, I guess, in the Windows world. Anyway, last month's Patch Tuesday, included 14 Windows flaws. This next Tuesday, October 11th release, is going to have something that...
How about November 11th?
Oh, that was the October 11th.
Okay.
I'm sorry. This is next week.
Okay. Any case, what's the patches? Whether it happened two weeks ago...
It fixes malicious code. Okay. Also, Apple Mac OS X 10 update has come out.
Fixing security holes?
10.4.3 adds a number of updates and bug fixes as well as new features. So in the next week, you might want to go update your OS.
With OS 10, it's giving in the patch for Safari to pass the ACID 2 test. Yes. ACID 2 test is this torture test for browser
status compliance. They're enhancing Safari to do that?
Well, it was already in the code base to do this. There has been some talk among geek groups about who can pass this first, and Safari, the Safari browser, was the first one to be able to pass this test. So now that code that was on the bleeding edge is now filtering out to everyone else.
Right. All right. Let's go ahead and invite people that aren't us to join us. The phone numbers, you're out there listening to us, and you might have been lost by our news and lost every week. But one thing we know we can do is take you along the steps of learning about your computer. So if you've got a computer problem and you don't know the answer and you want to ask us and get our opinions or or not.
This sounds like the A-Team intro. If you're in trouble, no one else can help you. Maybe call. You should call Geek Speak.
You can call us right now. 476-2800. Toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Are there any 80s themes that you don't know, Miles?
I'll be face.
You'll be face. Hey, I want
Miles
to
is howling mad Murdoch.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and start taking a call because, hey, we got one, and that's why we're here today, to answer people. So, from Santa Cruz, Drew, welcome to Geek Speak. Oh, you know, you don't even know I'm talking to you. So, Drew, hi, welcome to Geek Speak. One more time, Drew. Hello? Oh, you know, that button didn't go, and there you are, and so sorry. Hi.
Oh, no!
Why? There it is. Okay, I'm sure that Drew's going to say hi.
Hi.
Yay.
There we go. Boy, you guys are real technicians, I can tell.
Yeah, don't let us in with this. Lyle's all on his own messing up.
Yeah, the other guys will know what's going on. So what's your question?
Well, just as long as you can figure out which button to push, that's the important thing. Anyway, good morning. I just always enjoy your show, and I had one quick question to ask you. I have Macs. And my battery went dead on the computer, so I put a new battery in, and now my Netscape Netscape communicator browser, when I go to some websites, it's just like things freeze up and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I checked the I went back to check the actual system, and it says that it's was set up in 1906. So is there some way I can...
Yeah, your clock needs to be reset. That makes sense. Okay, so are you on OS 9 or OS 10?
OS 9.
Okay, so you want to go to... Oh, wow, this is just testing my memory. Go to the Apple in the upper left-hand side corner, and I think that there's a thing called control panels, and then there's a control panel called date and time.
Yeah, I've already done that.
Oh, well,
still doesn't work.
And what's saying 1906? The browser?
Yeah, when I go when I click on Netscape Navigator and I go to get information, it says that it was established in 1906.
See, I just don't think that is. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, well, that's what it does. But anyway, it just doesn't.
It doesn't function very well.
Yeah, when I go to some websites, it just like freezes up, and there's like a double image and.
Okay, well here's the trick I'm going to recommend you doing. Go ahead and erase the preferences for that Netscape browser. Are you using that for mail as well, for email?
Yeah, I use it for everything. Erase preferences.
Yeah, but then you're going to lose your preferences on mail settings. Do you know your mail settings to get your email?
Yeah.
Okay. What you want to do is go into the system folder, which is on your hard drive, and go into preferences. And in there, you're going to find something for Netscape communicator. And it's going to be like a preference file. And I want you to move that to your desktop. Make sure your browser's off at this point. Move that to your desktop.
Move the Netscape to the desktop?
The preference. The preference inside the system folder preferences.
Oh, instead of erasing it.
Yeah, don't erase it because it could be that you're going to lose settings that you need.
Okay, so move preferences. Move it.
Yeah, it'll still function for you. And then once you've moved them, go ahead and launch Netscape. And see, it should prompt you as if the browser is a brand new browser.
Mm-hmm.
And then go through the steps, and then you have to set up your mail settings again. And your mail should still be there. It's just that your mail settings might not be.
Okay, so go to system folder, pull out Netscape preferences, move them to the desktop.
And start up Netscape.
And start up Netscape.
Now this, of course, is going off my memory of 2 years, because I haven't run OS 9 since then. And when I was doing that, and maybe it's 3 years since now, I never had a Macintosh OS 9 computer. So my knowledge on this space is relatively weak, but I'm sure that someone will call in to support what I'm saying or completely thrash me. So if you'd like to stay tuned, maybe someone else will be able to help out. Good luck on it.
I always stay tuned.
All right. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. We got people lined up, and if you'd like to join them, 476-2800, toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Baywood Park. Josh, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi, yes. I have discovered a nice little feature, Save As, into different formats. And I just like to know, I have an old Mac computer that I like to save a lot of documents, put on my new computer, and
okay.
I'm trying to save as in maybe a Microsoft
okay.
version.
What are you using to save? What operating? What application are you using to do save as?
Well, that's what I'm experimenting with right now.
Okay.
And it seems like as I try to reopen it on my computer, it says document cannot be opened because application program I created could not be found.
Okay. I think I have the problem. I think I know what's going on, and it's got a pretty simple fix, but I'm just going to confirm a couple things. On your Macintosh, the Save As, you really do have to save it in Word to do a Save As Word. So in your old Mac, open up the document in Word document in Word, do a Save As a Word document. That's one of the choices when you're saving it.
Right.
And you want to make sure that you append, meaning at the very end of the file name that you save, a dot and a DOC. Your other computer is going to look at that information to determine whether what kind of document it is. And a DOC is a Word document. Now, out of curiosity, the new computer, is it a Windows machine?
I haven't. Well, that's the next
okay.
phase.
But you said that you can't open it. It's saying that you can't open it. What are you trying to open it in?
I've tried a couple of things. Let's see. Word. A couple of... let's see. What else? I'm going through a lot of different
okay.
choices.
What computer are you using to try to open it?
I'm using a Mac.
You're using a newer Mac?
No, I'm using my old Mac. I haven't purchased
okay.
newer computer.
So what you're saying is you've got the documents, you're trying to save as a Word document, it saves, and then you can't open it on the same computer.
Right.
Okay, that's bad. What application are you using to save it in?
Well, right now I've been saving it to, well, it has this old ClarisWorks.
Okay, so you've got ClarisWorks. And does ClarisWorks have a save as Word document?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have Word on that computer?
It doesn't appear to be because of that message.
Okay.
So it looks like I have all these choices to
right.
save as.
Okay. Inside your, on the old Mac, go find, see if you have Office on there. See if you have Word, Microsoft Word. You can do a find in the Finder and type Microsoft Word and see if the application shows
well,
up.
It's listed in the save as list.
Okay. So what's going on is your application, you can save as a Word document, but you don't actually have Word on your computer, so you can't then reopen it. You could probably import it in ClarisWorks, that Word document, but that wouldn't really do much for you. So basically you want to translate all your documents to Word. So you do need to get somebody, get a new computer that has Word, get Word installed on that computer, or get somebody that you know that has Word and give them a file to make sure that it worked. And so that's what I recommend you doing. Go ahead and go into ClarisWorks. Do a Save As Word document. Choose that. Make sure you add the .doc at the end of the file name.
Okay, so I go into Save As.
Save As. Choose Word. Microsoft Word is the format.
Okay, I got a whole bunch of choices here. Word 4.0 seems to be the latest.
Do Word 4.0. That's fine. Make sure that when you save the when you type in the file name, make sure you add a .doc to it. Save that to somewhere you know, like the desktop. Then open up your email and email that to a friend that has Microsoft Word. Ask them to open it and see if
I don't have email on this computer.
Oh, no. So how are you planning on getting the content off? I'm going to have to wrap this call
up. Yeah, I figure
up,
what I do is just put it on a floppy and then
okay.
buy a floppy
drive for a new computer.
Drive, yeah.
All right, find somebody that can help you on testing it because...
Well, here's another clue. It just, you know, when I saved it in, say, Word, it came up with the... with the title, but it put in parentheses V5.0.
Version 5.0.
Yeah.
Odd.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say
Microsoft
that...
Microsoft Word 4.0 is...
You're doing the right parameters of trying to get the content off, saving this Word document and then open it in a different application. You might want to save as text, depending on if you care if the format or not is
saved. Yeah, that's
saved.
What I've heard. That seems to be the most universal
Definitely.
Thing.
Definitely the most universal.
So, and then I have RTF...
Yeah, rich document format is also a very universal format.
Rich text format.
Thank you, Miles.
So text is kind of like a sale face.
Yeah.
I would probably be on the old Mac someplace.
Yeah, that you can then open it up. It's called, there is an application that can open that. I think it's called Simple Text.
Yeah, but if you save as text, you're going to lose any tables you had in the Word document.
It's a lot of stuff you'll lose.
Any images.
Well, Josh, I'm going to go on to the next call.
Thank you.
Thank you and good luck.
All right.
And from Watsonville, a question about RSS. Judith, welcome.
Hi, yeah. I was wondering, I've been trying to get some different, like, video feeds or audio feeds at one point and another. And
like podcasts?
Well, not podcasts, but just the feeds from the station, because I have dial-up and it takes a while for them to download. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for me just to listen or watch online. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know exactly what an RSS feed was. And is that like an audio feed or a video feed? Or
an RSS is a packaging file that defines other stuff. So it's really just a way of talking about other things.
It's a list. Like, for example, if you were to get a news RSS feed, then what that is a list of all the headlines. It's not the stories themselves. It's just a list of all the stories.
And podcasts that people talk about, RSS feed for podcasts, are a list of links to audio files that you would then download.
So that information is pushed to you, and then you can look at these titles and headlines and decide how much further you want to get into that article or that video or audio file.
Judith, you do a lot of listening to audio online?
I do a fair amount.
And what's your question then? Are you looking?
Well,
just
actually,
know about it?
I've noticed there are some news shows on that I'd like to be able to. They don't seem to be audio. They seem to be video. But I found that on C-SPAN has a page where there's audio feeds that are video feeds that I can actually
subscribe to.
Well, I can get them. I can click and read them offline. The pictures aren't great, but I can at least hear the reporting and see some of the pictures. And so I know I'm not going to have great video.
Basically, you're wondering these RSS feeds of those things that they offer. How can you use them?
Or the other thing is there's one of them is using MSN video, and I have Mac, I wrote MSN and they said Mac doesn't support the MSN video doesn't support Mac.
Yeah, I know that Windows Media Player file formats, that's your WMA. Miles, is that right?
Windows Media Video?
Windows Media Files, what are they? WMV. MV. Okay.
Yeah.
So that you have to get a application, Windows Media Player application from Microsoft, and you can download that for OS X on the Macintosh, and it works fine. I don't know what the MSN video format is, if it's something you need.
Oh, it's probably WMA then.
WMA.
Well, it says I'm supposed to have one of the things that I can't find for Mac, the version that's high enough.
Yeah, this is going to be a problem. Are you running OS 9 or OS 10?
OS 10.
Okay.
At 10.3.9.
That's a good thing. First, go to Microsoft's site and download Windows Media Player for OS 10. That's going to improve a lot of things you can play. Make sure you update your QuickTime, which is going to be an update in the upper left-hand corner.
I've done that.
Okay. So now those two things allow you to play most things. There are a few codecs out there that you won't be able to play, but the major boys, you're going to be able to play the content from them. The thing is that you're going to run into this problem over and over again where sites just say, you're not supported because you're a Macintosh person. In reality, there's normally ways to get around that, but it takes some geeking.
So Windows Media Player.
Windows Media Player from Microsoft.
Okay.
And for OS 10.
OS 10.
That'll get you started.
Okay.
Good luck, Judith.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Well, okay, Miles, this one's going to be for you, I think. We've got Drew from Sunnyvale. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Hey, boy, it's Drew.
Hey, bud. Can you turn your radio down?
Echo. That's great.
Echo.
It's Drew.
I got this lovely Bluetooth headset on at the same time as I'm listening through the truck.
We miss you, man.
Yeah, well, I miss you guys, too. And I just wanted to point out, I mean, this is definitely in Miles' area, and I got to say, I missed the show. So maybe you talked about it, but 2 weeks ago, Ubuntu announced the latest distribution, the Breezy Badger 5.1.
We did not get that news.
Oh, wait, that was at the top of the hour. I mean, that was so important. Everyone uses that.
I've been on hold. I've been patiently waiting.
You're kidding. Or joking, Drew.
You know what? Can you wait some more, Drew? Because I got to take a mid-break, man.
Oh, geez. All right.
Right on. You're used to this, though.
Go for it.
This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com.
The Monterey Bay Aquarium is looking for an official explorer to help promote Oceans 2006, a year of exploring. If you're between the ages of 10 and 13 and are committed to conservation, you might be the person they're looking for. For a list of requirements, benefits, and an application, visit MontereyBayAquarium.org.
This week in This American Life, for a second time on our program, teenager Haider Akbar carries a tape recorder with him to Afghanistan, where his father is in the new government. At some point, Haider is asked to look out for an Afghan who's being interrogated by the United States.
I touched his face, and he was dead. This guy was like, make sure nothing happens to me.
Teenager in Afghanistan, this week.
Catch This American Life Sunday at 10 a.m. on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP.
KUSP's recent membership drive ended short of our goal. We rely upon you, as a listener, to provide the funds necessary to bring you the radio you count on. Your financial support is crucial, so we'll continue to ask you for help. Whether you renew your membership now, give an additional gift now, or join us for the first time, your contribution helps close the gap. We still have $19,500 left to raise. Donate online at KUSP.org or mail in your renewal card. And thank you for your support.
You're listening to Geek Speak. If you have questions or comments, today is the show to get them answered. The phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. You can use the internet, visit geekspeak.org, and click on Contact Us. Now, Drew's on right now, and he's going to ask us some more questions about stuff that no one else is going to understand at all, but Miles is going to answer it. But what I would love is for you to call in right now so that after we say goodbye to Drew, we'll be able to answer questions that some people can actually understand, including myself. This program is supported by a grant from Cruise.io, providing local and nationwide internet services, including DSL 6.0, spam filters, and virus protection. Information about Cruise.io membership is available online at cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. You're listening to Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning are Sean Cleveland and Miles Elam. And, hey, Drew's on the phone as well. So, Drew Meyer, okay, what's the question about Ubuntu Linux?
Well, it's not a question.
A news item.
Hey, everybody, if you're thinking about moving to Linux, this is the time, this is the distribution that's now available. And not, even the non-technical of anybody can do this.
Okay, so it's a very easy install Linux.
Well,
in fact, it's so easy that it just won Linux Magazine's award as the best distribution, and it's only been out for a year.
Nice.
Right, and it's actually not, you don't have to install it. There's also a live CD version, which means you plop it into a computer, into the CD drive, and it will boot off that CD, and so you don't have to actually commit to doing an install. You can see what it's like, write some documents, do some web browsing, and you're like, oh, hey, I kind of like this, and then do an install. Or you can say, it's not for me, and then you throw the CD away, and the computer is still back the way it was.
That sounds pretty cool. You know, it would be nice if that was available at, like, coffee shops and stuff in the area. Miles, why don't
you
start making
them?
You
can get
it
for free. You can download it for free, and you can also have them ship you a CD-ROM for free. So
okay.
There's no risk involved in this.
Shipping the CD-ROM for free makes a lot of sense, because the other way, downloading it and burning a CD is kind of complicated. That's crazy. Maybe they're really motivated.
It's phenomenal.
Okay, what's the URL, Drew, for people to do this?
It's ubuntu.org. ubuntu.org.
You can go there and ask them to send you a CD and try an operating system without affecting your computer at all.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, if you have an old PC in your garage, which, you know, we know a lot of people who like that, but there are other people out there who have a piece of junk old machine, it's got a virus, it's got a bug, it's got hardware that's too old, this will resuscitate it, and it's free, which I think is really cool.
And it's easy. Drew, thank you so much for being on Geek Speak.
It's immune to just about every virus on the planet, so no viruses and worms will affect you if you're running Ubuntu.
That's right.
Plug.
Thank you very much, Drew.
All right.
Bye. All right, let's see.
Actually, change that. It's not ubuntu.org, because Ubuntu is actually an African word that refers to, like, the brotherhood of men. Ubuntulinux.org
okay.
is the
correct.
URL.
All right. We're going to go to Mike.
Yes.
Hi, in Santa Cruz. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Hello, thank you. I have a problem with my external hard drive on a Macintosh.
Okay.
I'm running 9.2.
Oh.
Anyway, I've got a Western Digital 8D gigabyte external hard drive, and somehow it's been made invisible on my Finder. I can't find it anywhere but through a Sherlock search, and when I try and pull up a file that's inside the external hard drive, it says that it's an invisible file.
What?
I know, that the Western Digital. So
Okay, is this a USB or FireWire?
Yes, it is.
USB. All right, have you unplugged it, of course, and plugged it back in?
Yeah, turned it off, restarted the computer.
Okay, get a better operating system. No.
maybe it is time to up to 10, but I'm not sure that it would show up. It's not showing up on my other machine either. I tried another machine.
Is the other machine a Windows machine? Or?
No, right. It's also a Macintosh, and it's also in the 9.
Okay, OS 9's USB support was appended and added on. First off, make sure you've got the most up-to-date OS 9.2.
Got it.
Why it would stop working all of a sudden and go invisible. Bad operating system design? No. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of help for you on this. What you could do is take this drive and plug it into a friend that has OS 10 or a Windows machine and see if it mounts.
Okay.
OS 10 is going to be a better choice because it's possible that this is formatted in a way that a Windows machine won't be able to read.
What kind of Mac do you have?
It's a iMac Snow.
Snow?
Yeah.
What do you mean snow?
A white one.
No, it was like, yeah, it's a white one. And it was a couple years old.
Does it look like a lampshade or?
No.
It's one of those candied ones, but just isn't colored like candy.
No, it's not. It's just kind of white.
Okay, but it's all in one case, right? One monitor.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I don't know if that actually happened, if those came out after the colored ones or not.
I think they did come out after the colored ones. It's a pretty recent. It's about 2 years old.
Yeah, Miles didn't come after before the colored. Before the colored were these gray ones, and then the colored ones come out, and then they released a few others.
Okay. You got me on that. I really don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. No, I think Miles is wrong, and you're right, Mike. And thank you very much.
I win.
I'm getting it all. About all that big marketing campaign where they had, like, choose a new color?
Flavors. Yeah, Mike didn't fall for that. But, I think you want to go ahead and upgrade OS 10. Your computer will handle it, and it'll take some resources, but I think it's a better operating system in every way. I mean, we talk a lot about Macintosh on this computer to the behest of, you know, Sean and such, but on this show we talk a lot about Macintosh computers. And one of the reasons is that Miles and I are both using OS 10, the more recent of Macintosh, and it's a really good operating system.
Well, I would if my battery were working.
Uh-huh. But the older pre-OS 10 is worse than Microsoft's products by far, in my opinion. I think the OS 9 operating system is just flawed.
Okay.
So I would recommend going to OS 10, and it's going to be a little difficult. But first, before you go through all this trouble, if you're just trying to get this content off there, go find somebody that has an OS 10 machine and try plugging it in.
That's exactly what I'll do. One last question.
Yes.
Is there some way to make it uninvisible? That's like more than the thing. Is there something in 9.2 that I don't know about that I can find?
For a whole mount to be invisible doesn't make any sense to me.
It
confuses and concerns me. One thing you could try to do on OS 9, this is the way you do this, you delete and the extensions and the control panels that affect the USB and then reinstall them. That's one way to go about it. You could try doing it that way. But first you want to try plugging this drive in somewhere else. It could be invisible because there's a problem with the drive and it doesn't want you writing to it.
Yeah, could be.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. I'm not exactly sure which order of people have been waiting for us, but we've got four people on, and we're going to go to Gilroy. John, welcome to Geek Speak.
Yeah, hi. This is John. I enjoy your show. I had a question about Palm Trio cell phones. Would it be a good deal for me if I use a cell phone a lot?
I think anything that costs that much money probably isn't a good deal, but do you use a lot of Palm stuff? Do you have your address book and stuff in a Palm device already?
Yes, and a very old Palm that I'm ready to upgrade even if I didn't go to a new phone.
Okay.
You know, Drew, who we just spoke with, has a Treo, and all I ever see him do is yell at his Treo.
Now, are you sure he's yelling at the device and not the people on the other
side?
He's
not too happy with the device. No. But then I work with a guy who just bought one, a 650 for Singular, and he loves it. So, but there is a class action lawsuit against Treo right now. You might want to do some research online to find out what the problem is.
The newer 650s are going to be better. I mean,
no, this is for the 650.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, we definitely look into that.
There is a class action lawsuit. You might want to do a little research before you buy one.
I think, John, that if you're going to get a new cell phone and you're going to get a new Palm device, it does make sense to do this. If you know that you want a Palm device and you know you want a phone, go for it. That's what my feeling is. At the same time, I'm not using a Palm device finally in my life, and I've got a phone that does all the syncing and everything that I liked about a Palm, but it doesn't allow me to enter things very easily, and I'm not missing it at all. So it could be that it's time, unless you think maybe it's time to let go of the Palm device and just have a phone that does the features you want, that's another possibility. But if you know you want a Palm and you know you want a phone, get a Trio 650. How's
that? That sounds good, but what would be the phone that does most of the things without the that you just mentioned?
Okay, are you on a Windows machine or a Mac?
Yes.
Okay. And on the Windows machine, are you using Outlook?
No, I actually use Eudora for email.
Mm. Okay, you might have a little bit of problem syncing your email. Do you have an address book in Eudora? Is that your address book?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it could be kind of difficult because the cell phone companies that have syncing software for your computer might not have a conduit for
Eudora,
for example.
You're probably better off going with a Palm device than a Pocket PC device,
yeah,
because Pocket PC relies on Outlook.
But see, I'm just talking about a phone that has some memory in it.
So the Palm phone might be a good idea for you.
Yeah, I think we're leaning that way.
Okay, great.
Let us know if you hate it or like it, and if you join the
Yeah,
the
do
Clash
a little research first, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
Bye-bye. In Santa Cruz, Todd, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So basically, my problem is this. I have a, it is a gateway computer. It has two disk drives. One just reads them, and the other is a burner.
Uh-huh.
Both of them stop working. And when I try to play a CD on my Music Max jukebox, on either one, it says, oh, there's no CD in there. So I'm just wondering what to do about that.
What'd you do? Did you take the computer apart?
No.
So these are inside the computer, or they're external?
They're internal.
They're internal, both of them.
They're both internal.
Sounds like the cable got loose.
I'd go with that.
So I basically check the cables.
Yeah, basically, drives inside, you know, relatively older computer, like more than 2 years old, the drives in there are ATA IDE drives, and that means that there's two channels.
I don't know.
You don't think a cable's...
So are you seeing the actual drive letter attached to the CD-ROM drives?
What do you mean?
Do you see the drive in Windows?
No.
You don't? So the whole drive has disappeared?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so...
Did you do an update recently?
No, I haven't.
Or installing any new drivers?
Have you been pushing your computer around or throwing it around?
Once in a while, I'll pull it out a little bit to, you know, disconnect the... you know, a couple cables, but I don't really push on that much, no.
So there's two things either... I believe there's two things that's possible. First off, do you have power to those devices? Like you can eject them and put a disk in?
Yes.
Okay. So you know it's not a power problem in that regard. It could be that there's not enough power on that line of the power supply to read the drives. But when you stick the disk in, does it spin? Can you hear it start up spinning?
I don't hear it spinning, but the light goes on saying it's reading it.
Interesting.
So, well, that's any disk you put into a CD-ROM drive. It's going to do that quick little initial...
So that's
spinning. I mean, that means it's spinning.
Yeah, probably a good idea to check the cables. Have you updated your BIOS recently or installed another hard drive?
Okay, I think it's a cable problem.
Both CD-ROM drives failed at the same time,
I think it's a Windows
right?
driver problem.
Not at the same time. The first one went about a year and a half ago. The second one went maybe within the past month.
You know, go to your control panel and go to System and check your device manager. And see if there are any red marks next to your Atappi devices.
That's a good idea.
Because you might have, your driver might have gone south on you.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking cables, but the fact
they
didn't go
at different times.
Yeah, if they happened at the same time, it would have been like, oh, you have a cable.
Because if the Atappi driver, something happened to that in Windows, then that would affect both of those CD-ROM drives.
Okay, so under control panels, what do I look under?
Go to System, and then go to Device Manager.
Okay.
There you go.
And in there, you'll see a yellow or red mark next to something. That's an issue.
Okay. Great.
And then you might want to do a little research on your motherboard and drivers and get those updated.
Great.
Actually, when he was saying control or system and then device manager, that's control panel.
Yeah,
system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can right-click on My Computer on your desktop and select Properties. Either way, you need to go to the Hardware tab and then Device Manager.
Yeah, see, Sean, you're just talking crazy talk now.
There actually are a couple of exclamation points in yellow next to those drivers.
Yep,
uh-huh.
That's the problem. So maybe go back in and say reinstall the driver. Maybe it's just something happened to it.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Now, of course, the problem's going to be when Todd goes to do that. Sean, I think you did great, but when he goes to do that and it says, please insert your Windows disk for the drivers, he won't be able to read it.
It won't do that.
It won't do that. Good.
Whew. Better just go online and get new drivers from the motherboard manufacturer.
Yeah. All right, Blaze.
Hey. I've got a couple issues with a Windows 2000 computer I use at work.
Okay.
And let me turn this volume down.
Hey, you know, Sean, this is really exciting because Blaze is a Mac user, and he calls in a lot for Mac questions. So he's calling in for a 2000 question.
Yeah,
so.
I wish it were a Mac. Let's do it that way. But
I
I've got a bunch of business software, like a UPS World Ship, that I got to do, and we're probably going to switch over at some point, but I'm trying to just milk it.
Windows 2000 is a good operating system. All right, go on.
Anyways, an issue started recently where I'm listening to broadband radio a lot, and, you know, all of a sudden my sound will go off, and then I'll go to, you know, kind of, sometimes it's just a delay, you know, in the buffer or something. And so I go to start it again. And sometimes it won't start. And then I've realized that all my sound for the whole thing is off, including my system sounds, like warning buttons and things like that. So, and then the whole thing is cured by a restart.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And then it doesn't happen on any particular interval. Sometimes it'll do it for 5 minutes and then it'll go off. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll be all day and it won't even happen. And,
yeah, see, I would just restart your computer more. All right, next call. No,
I have one possible solution is that someone gave me. I won a package of Windows XP Pro, so I have that. But I didn't want to switch it because it's like, well, why fix something if it isn't broken? I just want my business software to work, and I don't want to screw around with the system if I don't have to.
Yeah, it could break more if you install Windows XP.
Do you know what sound card? Okay. What sound card is inside this computer?
I could look if you could direct me how to look, but...
Okay, well, it was the same call as last time, and same directions as last time. But first off, let me just say that when it happens next, even if you don't run into this problem, or even if you can't find the problem right now, when it happens next, you want to do the same thing. So go to... Sean?
Yeah, go to Control Panel,
uh-huh.
And then go to System.
Okay, one second.
And that'll open up the System Properties.
Okay.
And then...
I'm trying to remember
Windows 2000. You're going to see a hardware tab?
General network ID, hardware, user profile, advanced.
Yeah, hardware.
Hardware.
And then device manager.
And device manager. Okay.
And in there, you should see sound, audio, probably sound.
Sound and video game controller.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
and
should
then
tell
I've
you
got,
what you have.
Audio codecs, legacy audio drivers, legacy video capture devices. Media control devices.
Did anything get flagged on red?
You know what it sounds like? It's the video is built into the motherboard.
Yeah.
Or the audio.
SoundMax integrated digital audio.
Yeah. So it's software audio. You probably need to update the drivers. Because Windows 2000 drivers were kind of flaky.
But you might not find drivers at this point to do it.
So I would look on Google for a SoundMax integrated digital audio driver.
What I would do is open up your computer. And look at the motherboard.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait, is this a fully? Is this a Dell or a Gateway?
It's a Dell.
It's a Dell. Okay, then get the model number.
Okay.
Go to
the
website.
Outside, you don't have to open it up. Just the model.
Yeah, go to the website and do a search in their support section for that model number and get the updated Windows 2000 drivers.
And get the 2000 drivers. Don't get Windows XP drivers for that machine.
Okay, and you recommend do not get Windows XP.
If
you've got Windows XP, that might be a good idea to install.
I mean, I
that.
Have the Pro version, and the thing is I have one other known issue, and that's that my Windows Explorer, the file system, doesn't work on, you know, very well. I mean, I can kind of make it work.
Yeah, I think, Blaze, you're a pretty technical person. I think you should go ahead and upgrade to Windows XP Pro.
But I wouldn't do an upgrade.
No, don't do an upgrade. Do a full install.
But, you know, that's a lot of time. So, it's a call. It's your call. It's going
to
take
some
time.
I know
of course, there's always a bonus.
I think I have the upgrade. It's an upgrade package.
Okay, then you'll want to do that then.
Yeah, do the upgrade. I mean, you'll probably fix your problem. You'll just run into, you know, applications you need not running. That's all. I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, I just want to run a half dozen applications.
Look, I think audio on a computer and being able to navigate your file system.
Those are important things.
No, those aren't important.
So, unless you have a lot of time to burn, you might want to just go to Dell's site, get the new updated Windows 2000 drivers, download Mozilla Firefox, and, you know, call it a day.
Well, you know,
if that fixes everything, you're good to go.
I like Firefox. I'm glad you guys are recommending it. I'm using one called NetCaptor, and I kind of like that, too. It gives me tab browsing and a bunch of
never
things.
Never heard of that.
I think it maybe runs on the IE engine. It needs IE installed to work.
Don't do it. Get rid of that. Go to Firefox.
Really?
Yeah.
And I'll have tab browsing in Firefox?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Opera 2 is now free.
And I'll do Firefox. See, if everybody has the same browser, then when I make web pages, I know what it looks like, and I like that. So go to Firefox.
Opera is fine.
Opera's bad. Firefox.
No, Opera and Firefox will look the same.
I think the main case is we shouldn't be using IE, but
that's
Firefox
right.
is the next best alternative.
And the browser, that's right. And the browser you have is actually an Internet Explorer with a wrapper.
Okay, that's what I have.
Thank you very much for the call.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
I only use IE to get Windows updates.
That's right.
Because of ActiveX.
or to test something funky that it does. All right, from Big Sur, Chris, hi, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi. I'm thinking about buying a Mac laptop, and I was wondering if I should wait till next year because of the conversion to the...
to Intel.
To the Intel chip.
You want to buy a Mac laptop, and you're wondering if you should wait until they have the Intel versions out.
Do you need a laptop now?
Yeah, I'm currently using an old iMac.
Then get a laptop now, because even next year, if you get, like, there's a new fancy-schmancy laptop that costs $20 billion, and you and you buy it, then there's going to be a new, better laptop a year from then. It's it's always getting better.
But, Miles, the Intel the Intel thing is a big change for Macintosh.
Yeah, do you know what?
Not important?
Yeah, not really, because the code base, they've been working a lot in making portability. In fact, everyone who's been making new or any recent Mac apps, if they're using the toolkits that Apple provided.
They work fine.
Yeah,
in the
going back and forth is not going to be
a problem. All right, Chris, I'm going to recommend the same thing Miles is recommending. If you need a laptop
they're not
right
going
now,
to get rid of PowerPC apps anytime soon.
You're not
you don't think it's going to make a big difference? Huh?
They'll be faster, and they'll last longer in the battery life, and they'll be better computers.
Okay.
But then again, anything, if you wait a year, the technology's going to be better.
Right,
so that's always the case.
Right. So I just...
And I'm not sure they're going to be cheaper. I don't know what they're going to do on those first revs. They got to recoup their giant expenditures for this. So who knows what they're going to do? And it's going to be kind of a, you know, they're going to come out. People are going to get them. They're going to hear on the show there's problems. They need an update. No, this operating system, this doesn't work on it. And you'll hear all this problems. So you're going to want to wait a couple months. And then you're waiting a couple months, and this entire time you haven't had a laptop.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to be frustrated.
Okay.
You won't be unhappy with getting a laptop now. They're good machines.
Okay. All right, we'll do. Thank
good
you.
Good luck. Bye-bye, Chris.
Bye.
All right, we're going to have room for like two more calls, and we've got one on right now on hold. So if you'd like to call in with questions or comments about technology, 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. I bet we have tons of email. Sean,
I'm thinking like blinking lights are coming in.
Yeah, I know. Sean, can you check email and make sure that there's nobody with a great question being ignored?
We just got two.
Okay, well, let's go to Garland, and you read through them real quick, and we'll take Garland's call. Hi, Garland from Monterey. All right, we won't be taking Garland. So, Sean, go ahead.
This is from Rodney from Pleasure Point. You were just talking about hidden drives. Is there a hidden drive partition flag? I know that the FAT32 file system has this. I have used this to save backup OS images.
Nice.
That's having multiple primary partitions because Windows can only see one at one time.
No. He's talking about hidden. Is that what he's talking about?
Well, unless you take away the drive letter, in which case it would be a hidden partition.
Well, he's saying that in the FAT32 there's a hidden flag, meaning ignore this drive. Don't load this drive visibly in the operating system.
Okay.
I've never seen
such
that would
have been in drive management if you just take away the drive letter.
So does OS 9 to have that same thing to answer that question we got earlier? I'm going to say that it might. I don't know how to deal with that problem of the thing being hidden. It seems strange to me. But is that all he's got? Is that what the comment was? It was helping us out, making us less...
It's hard because it sounds like a question, but there's no question mark.
Is there a hidden drive partition flag? Not that I'm aware of. There is no flag that I'm aware of. When you're booting off of Windows, you can say, you know, you can assign this partition becomes this drive letter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the thing called, you have primary partitions and secondary partitions or extended partitions.
Right, I've never heard of hiding a partition.
And so if you have two primary partitions, then Windows, this is back from DOS days, would only see one of the primary partitions.
Yeah, that's not really a flag,
hide,
though. That's totally different. And then in the OS 9 environment, I mean, you can hide files by setting a get info property on them. I don't know if you can do that to a whole drive.
That's not saving the partition table. That's the operating system.
But he's calling and just suggesting that the possible solution to the person that called earlier. Yes.
We have another one. Should I read it?
Well, let's go to Garland because he came back. So we'll go to Garland in Monterey. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys. I got a quick question for you. I have a PowerBook D4. I have a Bluetooth phone, a Motorola V551. I'm trying desperately to figure out how I can send a fax with the phone, using it as a modem. And I have Tiger on my operating system.
Okay, you've got Tiger on your operating system, and you want to use an older modem.
No, I have a Bluetooth phone.
Okay.
And I want to use that as a modem to send a fax.
Okay.
The biggest spider just crawled down
of the board.
No, I was like, so I was trying to crush it, and it got away, and it's going along the little board here.
Good luck, guys.
No, you should see Sean's face, though. He's just like, it's going to get my laptop.
Okay.
That thing was huge.
Sorry for the distraction, Garland. Sean right now is weeping in the corner because of the spider that just ran out.
Help me.
Okay, Tiger using a Bluetooth device to do the internet connection.
Yeah, I have a Bluetooth phone.
No, I know it's supportable if your Bluetooth phone can make the call, if you will. I know people do it. I don't have the information on how to do it, and trying to suggest something right now on air, I'm going to fail miserably.
A Mac laptop with
no. How he's because of the spider. I'll repeat what Garland has written.
Yeah, thank you.
Garland has a Bluetooth phone. He has a laptop using Tiger, which has Bluetooth, mm-hmm. and he wants to be able to make a modem call through that device.
I
want to
send
Bluetooth.
A fax. Yeah.
I want to send a fax. Excuse me.
I bet you Chris has done this.
Yeah, Chris has probably done this.
You
I
know,
think
send Garland, an email to the Geeks.
I know a few people who have done
and
this.
Ask Chris.
Yeah, just go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us, fill it out, and we'll pester
make
Chris
sure,
to
yeah,
tell
we'll pester
it.
Chris to...
That'll
I
click
know
on the Geeks and look for Chris Dumphy and just...
Yeah, you could even
no,
send
No, actually,
Chris.
Send it to all of us.
Send
I want to I want to see the answer.
Me too.
Oh, you guys? Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that, but it's all just right. too complicated for on air.
No problem.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Garland.
Bye.
All right, Sean, go for it.
This is from Joe in Santa Cruz. I have iTunes on my PC, my home PC and my work PC. Each one has a different playlist. I originally downloaded to my iPod the playlist in my home PC. I tried to download to my iPod the playlist in my work PC. My iPod didn't respond, and I lost everything.
Lost everything on the iPod?
Sounds like the iPod because it didn't respond.
Okay.
Have you used... We don't have iPods. None of us here
no.
do.
No. Okay,
but
let's
you've
respond
used iTunes,
to him.
Right?
Yeah, of course. I think that somebody should buy me an iPod so that I can test this and play with it.
Probably
so.
A good idea.
You can
we
contact
all got video
Geeks.
iPods, Apple. Actually, John Tracy, our wayward Mac geek, has an iPod, and he's a big iPod enthusiast.
I get the impression more and more that everyone has an iPod except
us. I think the solution here is to make sure that you've got the most updated version of iPod. And you can actually, when you update your Mac, it's going to download an iPod updater. You want to do that. That's an important thing. And then switch between two computers on it. I know it's supported. Basically, you're going to erase the playlist on the iPod and play and copy another one over. So it's always going to erase the one. That's how the iPods work. So they update it, but if it's on a different computer, it's not on the same playlist, it would erase it and copy all the new ones over. So there's the answer to that. We're going to try to get this last question from Santa Cruz. Lee, welcome to GeekSpeak. Lee?
Yeah, hi, I'm there.
Yes, you are.
I have Internet Explorer that doesn't seem to work, and I want to figure out how to uninstall it and reinstall it 6.0.
Internet Explorer?
Yeah. And what happened, I use Firefox, but occasionally need Internet Explorer
sure.
for certain forms or
sure.
things. And when I call it up, I get a dialog error box that says, runtime error. This application has requested the runtime to terminate it in an unusual way. Please mm-hmm. contact application support team for more information.
Okay. There isn't
sounds
a way
like
to
a system,
uninstall Internet Explorer.
No, it's like a system file's been...
Yeah, it sounds like your machine is kind of harmed. I would do the updates, but of course you can't because you don't have Internet Explorer running.
Well, I've gone tried to do as many updates as I can through
manually
using Firefox.
Yeah,
right, downloading them ahead of time. One thing for some sites, it depends on if the site requires ActiveX or not. But there are many sites that they're just looking for the string to say this is Internet Explorer.
Yeah, but
It's possible you could get a Firefox extension that you pretend to be another browser.
Do you have Service Pack 2 installed in the system?
Yeah.
You might want to reinstall it.
That would do it.
Okay.
I think
it's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
You really should after you do major hardware updates, maybe sometimes reinstall.
Thank you for the call.
You see these kind of problems.
Okay.
This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. This is Geek Speak. I'm Lyle Trox. This morning, Miles Elam and Sean Cleveland joined us. Thank you very much. To those of you that called in, thank you for making Geek Speak what it is. Without us, it would just be us geeking out and, you know, that'd be
boring. Without you, it would be, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Geek Speak is a registered service mark of online tonight with David Lawrence and used by permission. Geek Speak is proudly sponsored by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Felton offering color printing, design, computer rentals, delivered office supplies, shipping via FedEx, UPS, DHL, and more. Details at businesswithpleasure.com. Next week on GeekSpeak, we are trying desperately to get Apple on to talk about their new application Aperture, which is a file management tool for professionals. This will be the first time Apple comes on, as long as they return my calls. And I figure if I promote it now, they're kind of obligated. So next week we're going to have Apple on. We'll see how that works. this is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, Santa Cruz, KBDH, San Arlo, on the web at kusp.org. Coming up next is The Open Road. And after that, at 1 p.m., Two Steps in the Blues with Charlie Lang. Sean, I know that you're possibly leaving us soon, and I'm going to miss you. I hope that you can make next week's show.
I hope so, too. Yeah, taking a new job, so.
And if not, thanks for 5 years of dedication to the show. For KUSP and GeekSpeak, I'm Lyle Troxell.